Welcome to the podcast for Empathy and Imagination. This is episode 23, and my name is Aubrey.
And I am Drew Clark. Thank you for being here.
Welcome back. So.
Wow. Episode 23.
Episode 23.
We're almost at our musical tapes. Episode 25 is when we listen to the tapes.
We're going to bring in some cassette tapes for episode 25. Some old cassettes of music we've recorded in the past. Should be very entertaining. Do we have any updates?
So I'd like to start with, hey, Aubrey, how's your week been?
Week's been good. A little slow on the work this week.
Yeah, like what?
Not too much work. Kind of a light week for maintenance. Roots.
Got it. Hot tub maintenance.
Yeah.
Not computer maintenance. That's a different route.
Like I didn't have to go into San Francisco this week. But
Usually do.
Every other week, yeah. Hmm. Every other week it's like 10 to 13 clients in the city. So it was a light week and just excited to be here, hanging out, having a good time, drinking some beer.
What beer are we drinking?
I'm drinking a Hop Hunter IPA. Now, this is a beer produced by Sierra Nevada Brewing Company. And it's a tasty, hoppy beer.
Hmm.
What do you, are you got Racer 5?
I do. I'm currently enjoying Racer 5.
Enjoy it.
I'm enjoying the Racer 5 IPA.
It's good. It's a reliable beer, man.
You know, it's like, of course, it's everywhere now, and I think it's sort of glossed over a little bit. But often it is a better choice than many things in many places.
Yeah. Especially if it's really like the perfect coldness.
Yeah, that's helpful.
And it's really like, it's got a nice,
like fruity, kind of crisp. Yeah. So thanks, Spare Republic.
Cool.
I have a garden update and a gradient update. Garden update. So I believe I mentioned last episode that I have gotten a new side part-time job where I, two blocks away from where I live, there's this very nice lady who needs a lot of help with her front, back, side yards. There's a lot of plants, like hundreds of plants, several different sections. There's like parts of it is potted, part of it is in the ground. There's like succulent areas and fruit trees and a whole food garden, as well as like side yards with more succulents.
Like wraparound yards?
The yard circles the house completely. And there's like a front yard and a side yard and a back patio area that we totally tore apart, took everything out of it, completely cleaned it down to nothing. We added only the planters that we wanted in this like little shady glaze behind the garage. Mm-hmm. And so we made this lovely area where we put these art pieces up and we like set it all up, removed all the trash, and it's just awesome. Today, I was working there. I'm still working there. It's going really well. Two of her friends came by and they were super impressed. And I felt a ton of gratitude. Each of them individually came up to me and were like, "Drew, you have no idea how much this means to us." And I was like, "What do you mean?" She was like, "Our friend here has needed this help for a really long time. And we've tried, but no one could get through. And you clearly have the ability to make it so that she can let some shit go."
Right.
Essentially. That's essentially what she said. And I was so flattered. Yeah. And I felt extremely a lot of gratitude.
That's awesome. It reminds me of Mama Clark there. Doing the similar things.
Yeah, yeah, that's basically what it is. I'm kind of following Mama's footsteps there. I'm professionally organizing this lady's entire household.
Oh, okay.
On the outside.
So she has a side yard?
Everything yard. She has every yard.
Does she have any side roads?
Basically.
Okay.
She has this nice
taking it easy
patio
on them? Or?
She would, and she has a van again, so yes. She definitely would take it easy on the side roads.
Cool.
Yeah, so I've been doing that, and it's really rewarding. The other friend was like, had a similar thing to say, very genuine and friendly, and it was cool. And today I was working in the front yard and somebody walked by and she was like, "Hey, can you do this at my house down the street?" And I was like, "Yeah.
There you go."
And so I was like,
"The business has begun."
Like, shit, I guess it has. So I'm like, "Okay." And it was funny too, because there was a little bit of a challenge between the nice lady I work with and the lady who came up, because after that, the passing thing had happened, there was like kind of some eyes and some comments. I was very surprised that there was like, you know, drama in the neighborhood. Oh, like
so they were jealous of something?
I don't know. No. It was like, I think one of them didn't like the other one.
Oh, okay.
And so.
I see.
It was like a little bit of drama, and I was just like smooth, like, oh, totally doesn't even matter. And
yeah,
you know, it was cool.
Don't get dragged down into the drama.
So that's my garden update.
Nice. It's like garden entrepreneurship update.
I guess so.
You know, I did see I have a very brief garden update. I saw.
Yeah, thank you.
I have some little tomatoes. Just little green guys, you know, marble sized, but this is grown from a seed, you know, 10 weeks ago. So finally starting to see the actual tomatoes starting to fruit on it. It's pretty awesome.
Congratulations.
I'll post a picture.
Nice.
Just, you know, two little green marbles.
But that's you've it. Made food.
Basically making food.
You've made food.
And not from something that, you know, I mean, you purchase seeds and it's like $2 for 20.
Yeah. A lot.
So I'm kind of proud that it's from a seed, not the easy way, you know. Yeah. It's not like you know, it's like the difference between making lasagna and buying the microwave version.
Mm-hmm. There's like I believe a gradient between buying a seed, putting it in the ground, having it grow up into a thing, cooking it yourself, and then eating it. The gradient to like, I called for food delivery. And it was like pre-chewed food, basically.
Right.
Sort of just drink it.
Pre-regurgitated.
Yeah. I mean, there's like a gradient food in there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think the gradient feeds back on itself. The gradient is a circle. That's what I think. Because, you know, the earth is basically one giant compost heap.
Yeah.
That's essentially what's happening. Organic matter is, you know, living out its life cycles and then dying and reabsorbing into the matter.
That's what's happening. And their decay fosters new life in our gardens.
Totally. And fossil fuels, etc. So it would be cool to establish another compost somewhere else, you know, colonize the moon, make that into a compost.
Whoa.
I mean, it would, you know, anything that's called, if anything was terraformed, it basically becomes a compost pile.
Interesting. Huh.
That's what life is, right? You born, you live, you die, and you give your essences back to the elements of the earth.
That's true.
Stars must die in order for us to live. Wow. But yeah, cool. We have cool
garden
updates.
That was kick-ass garden update.
Let's see.
Ready?
No.
Garden update. Thank you.
You know, I got a sounds good and I got a topic. So.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
Steelers choice though. You
okay.
got
okay.
You got some stuff too. So
we got some stuff.
Dealer's choice.
Dealer's choice. Who's the dealer?
You're the dealer.
I'm the dealer. Okay. So you said you have a sounds good and you have a topic.
Correct, sir.
Let's go on topic.
Let's go topic.
I want to do topic.
Okay, we got topic.
Topics.
I wanted to talk a little bit about something that I've been interested in for some years. And also wanted to maybe get your initial feedback. Maybe I can mention the name of the topic and you could say some words, say some immediate kind of reactions.
I'd love
and
that.
And then maybe after we're done with the topic, maybe we can... You can have another, You can have an open parenthesis and a closed parenthesis, maybe.
I would love both of those. Thank you for the opportunity.
So I was, you know, the topic is seasteading.
Huh.
You know what this is?
Yeah, I'll speak for a moment now. So okay. Seasteading, so you know what, you know, I know what okay, that is. I've cool. done a little seasteading myself, actually.
There we go.
So when I took my 1969 mahogany motor yacht from San Pedro to Berkeley.
I always get a kick out of the fact that it was mahogany.
I took that mahogany vessel. It's kind of like a cross between a Victorian house and like a 70s Corvette. That's kind of, that's a cross, and that's a Evan Jenks quote.
Nice.
And he's accurate. So that was, I spent 6 days living in the ocean.
Unmoored, unanchored?
Unanchored, unmoored, underway, actually.
So a 6 day trip?
Yeah.
Huh. Take that, Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, I did that. And we did some seasteading. And it was interesting thinking about life, needs, power, space, will.
What was the one need you would say was least met?
Sleep.
Okay.
My need for rest was absolutely unmet.
Would that have been met if there were more more crew members?
Yes.
Now, was it a matter of number of crew members or capability of...
Capability.
Crew members, yeah.
Yeah.
Because so, navigation is takes some learning, some prep.
Well, it's like I wouldn't even, like, if you dropped me in the middle ocean with a map and a boat and a motor and a compass, like, I'll figure it out. But I wouldn't, it's like I couldn't say, oh, I'm going to go from this place to that place and then I'll be home. Like, that's not what I'm good at because I'm not really good at maps. But essentially we had a system. So because all the lights were out and we were driving at night and you can't see the waves, you can't see anything, right? We're going along, the flashlight's pointing at the compass, and I know what number I'm supposed to keep it at. I'm supposed to keep it at this number.
You just, you're shining a flashlight on the compass?
It's like taped.
And driving in the, okay.
And I got this wheel that's like 2.5 feet across, this huge circular aluminum wheel. And literally the autopilot was dead. We had one, but it was didn't work. It was dead. So we're out there and we're steering. So I'm keeping the number, and that's all you can see. And that's it.
Is this the one, the trip from... remind me again where you was it the trip after you purchased it riding up northern up north up the coast?
Yeah, the same summer I went on tour. I bought this boat and drove it up the coast
for 6 days.
6 days.
Fuck. Cool. Nice little open parenthesis there.
Thank you.
So yeah, seasteading. Thank you for that little intro. Basically living in the ocean, specifically the high seas. The idea is, and some of this is from Wikipedia, seasteading is creating permanent dwellings at sea outside the territory claimed by any government, which is 200 nautical miles from shore. So anything outside of 200 miles is the open ocean, is the high seas. And that's where no laws apply. Hmm. The laws of no nations obtain.
Hmm.
Except if you're flying under the flag of a certain country, you could say that those that country's laws apply on your ship. But generally, outside of 2,000 nautical miles, anything goes.
Okay.
So that's like the hardcore seasteading, is like would be establishing a sovereign nation or sovereign state.
210 miles out.
Yeah, outside of, you know, in international waters, outside of the jurisdiction of any state.
That sounds cool.
Sounds cool. It's also like, that's a fucking wilderness, man.
Yeah.
That's a big time wilderness. I mean, that's, it's really the, it's the intermediary frontier between land and space.
I mean, do you have like a picture in your mind of what sort of thing you would be on?
In my mind, well, there's a Cloutier obelisk, but
whoa,
there's a couple ideas. Mostly the ideas for seasteading are using the number one thing is modified cruise ships. So here are some ideas. Modified cruise vessels, oil
platforms.
Been
saying that, haven't I?
Decommissioned anti-aircraft platforms and custom-built islands. Those are kind of the main players in terms of how would this work.
Are there people out there now?
There's really one place.
Really?
And it's, its legitimacy is disputed. And it's called the Principality of Sealand. And this is actually a quote-unquote micronation. And it operates near Suffolk, England, in the North Sea. And I think it's only 10 or 20 miles out. I'm not sure. And it's on a discarded sea fort.
What's a sea fort?
So basically an anti-aircraft defensive gun platform.
That floats?
Built by the British in World War II.
Oh, is it bolted to the ground?
Well, I think it might be a... whatchamacallit, something buoy. The way oil platforms are built.
Are bolted to the ocean floor.
Okay, I thought they were anchored, basically. But I think that's the idea. I mean, it's basically like a platform.
Okay, cool.
Like an oil rig.
I'm interested.
There's a certain name for the type of buoy that oil rigs
use. I already
use.
Had a fantasy of moving there during this conversation, so keep going.
Spar buoys. And so that's Principality of Sealand. Of course, under different rulership. I mean, it's like a trailer. You know, like a trailer park. It's like one trailer in a parking lot. That's what this platform is, really. Good. Like a ranch house on a platform.
Do they have solar panels and gardens and shit?
Yes, but it's also pretty janky.
Is there a photo we could have up?
I mean, I think we'll put up a photo. They have there's a hierarchy, right? And I think there's a some kind of defensive, army, quote unquote, which is probably a couple guys. I mean, not that many people can live there on Sealand. I don't have the exact numbers, but it's just, it's like a platform. It's like a football field with a camping trailer on it. So I wanted to play something. This is the national anthem of Sealand.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they have a flag. They have an anthem. Here's the anthem.
That's a cool anthem. I mean, there was no word. I expected, and we are sovereign in the nation. We eat the fish abounding.
Might be a better anthem with words like that.
I don't know. I mean, we could do that.
The title of it is I Mare Libertas. And it means from the sea, liberty.
Hmm.
So that's Sealand. You asked if there's anything happening. That's really the only thing happening right now in terms of seasteading.
Okay, so
in terms of something that's actually built and working.
What would you do? Say you had the resources to make the Cloutier obelisk.
Mm.
What are, say, kind of like a couple of the main factors of this idea you have?
Well, the best place to situate such a thing would be along the equator, in the equatorial regions, in international waters, probably eventually, but to begin with, on the equator, with a kind of a right off the coast of a sponsor country. So this country is kind of helping you to launch this thing. And the equatorial zones are the best because you get the most sunlight.
Solar panels.
You get the most direct, you get
greenhouses.
The directest and most intense sunlight. And so the obelisk, of course, is completely covered in solar panels. So you need to be in the maximum solar zone.
I like being in the maximum solar zone. I might need some sunscreen, though.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll invent some new kind of way to do that.
Well, on the obelisk, it's kind of more of a pyramid.
Oh.
But it's kind of a sharp pyramid. Everyone has their own terrace and patio. Every residence.
So the residence is all on the outside.
Uh-huh. Yep. Everything on the inside is infrastructure, ventilation, machinery.
Grow rooms.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
Tech labs.
Automated. Auditory. A lot of automated stuff.
Yeah.
But essentially, yeah, you get maximum sunlight in the pyramid shape. The obelisk extends far enough down into the ocean, below the ocean surface, that you have OTEC operating, which is ocean thermal energy conversion.
Ha!
And also, you have wind turbines above water, as well as tidal hydroelectric turbines beneath the water.
How far down does the pyramid go into the water? Is it floating? Is it stationary? How does that go?
It could be toggleably stationary or floating. You could deploy anchors. You could also fill compartments to create weight. But ideally, you could move the obelisk.
Like maybe it floats, but can extend legs down.
Yes. Or weights or grapples or ballast chambers.
If you could drop an anchor that had a chain, right? But then you could somehow like magnetize or harden the chain so it was solid.
Mm.
Instead of, you know, who knows? Lots of cool things.
Yeah, yeah. You could have a semi-permanent anchor, like basically a net that goes down, a weighted net that goes down from the bottom. So yeah, it's still being pushed. The obelisk is still being pushed by the current of the water, but very slowly, and it's also dragging along the ocean floor this net, and you collect tons of life, tons of food.
Unless you're as you move, an endangered zone area, sure, and then you would lift up the net, right?
As you move from one location to another.
I'd like a room where there was like it was sealed. Excuse me.
Prison, so that you prison?
Could, in the bottom, so you could get in and out of the water from the middle.
Oh,
in
yeah.
A sealed room.
Totally.
You know what I mean? It's a two-chamber wall.
Yeah, like lagoon. There'd be lagoons and those kind of things.
Yeah.
Under locks, airlocks and such. And there'd probably be a ring, like a breakwater ring that would surround it.
Yeah,
almost like it would have to be a ways out.
I've seen some pictures of this on a similar thing online. It's not a pyramid, but they do a ring around three small little things, and so they have a wave break, and it's a seasteading thing. I wonder if I could find the photo.
Well, it might be the Seasteading Institute.
It might be.
That's something that's happening.
And they're talking about it all being 3D printed on site.
Hmm.
So it's all interconnecting, interchangeable, 3D printed on site.
You could also, there's also something, this guy Marshall Savage wrote a book in 93, maybe, called The Millennial Project, and he had similar ideas. And one technique that he had was you create like this mesh, like this lattice of wires, and you run a current through it, and you, by running a current through it, you accrete, like you basically grow coral around the wire structure. And so just using electricity, you could kind of grow these super strong structures just by accreting. The coral would just build up and
from the electricity.
Yeah,
that's how it works.
His plan. I mean, that's a very vague description of it, but yeah, basically using electricity to accrete salt and coral and organisms. Basically, like creating a coral reef artificially, and you use that as your
anchor,
as your floor or your walls or whatever.
Huh.
Seasteading Institute was founded in 2008. And so this is from their website. This is their brief description. The technology to foster the fluid mechanics of voluntary societies is at hand. The Seasteading Institute is a nonprofit think tank working to provide a machinery of freedom to choose new societies on the blue frontier. The most successful floating cities can then inspire change around the world. So I like the idea of voluntary societies. Kind of cool.
I like that. Sounds like empathy.
Resource-based, nonviolent, voluntary societies. So, you know, there's a lot of thinking going on in this think tank.
Yeah.
Nothing's been built, but they've held some award ceremonies, Floating City Project, you know, encouraging people to design and come up with ideas for a floating city with certain limitations.
Huh.
And some of the people from the Seasteading Institute went on to found Blue Seed, which was supposed to kind of establish a floating city off like a new Silicon Valley off the coast of California, where people wouldn't be required to have work visas and green cards, etc., because it would be far enough off the coast.
Oh, they would do like a Silicon Valley 210 miles out.
Right.
Wow.
Like kind of a, yeah, which is weird.
Silicon 2.
It's like building your own outsourcing. It's like a, it's not a tax shelter. It's like a startup shelter.
Mm-hmm.
That Blue Seed is on hold for lack of funding. So really the only thing going on is Sealand.
Really?
That's just a tiny thing. And the Seasteading Institute, you know, maybe they'll get some heat going and actually build something that would be cool. I think they're based out of San Francisco. So they're looking for somewhere to build a seastead. Somewhere in the Bay Area.
Well, I know some cool places.
That's basically what's happening.
That's cool. I've had that idea. I mean, looking for a place to do a seasteading thing in the Bay Area somewhere, dude, that's a really cool idea.
Yeah.
I've had that idea independently.
You've now sort of lived that idea, too.
I sort of have. 3.5 years on a boat.
So as I mentioned earlier, you know, cruise vessels, oil platforms, anti-aircraft platforms, which is what Sealand is built on. Custom-built islands. So, retrofitted cruise ships.
Dude, I love that.
This seems to be... This is the most likely candidate.
Yes.
Because it's already
have
there.
Have I not been talking about that for a long time?
You have been talking about this for a long time.
Thank you.
And I've always been on board with it. And it makes the most sense. It's like, you know, why make a new hammer? There's already a hammer laying around.
Retrofitted
cruise ships.
Everything you want.
These are likely to be the first season, primarily because they solve most of the problems of living at sea.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, cruise ships have to come into port, right?
And fuel. But over time, we can slowly transfer energies from oil to solar.
That's basically why. Just to refuel. That's it. And you could even refuel at sea. Fucking, why not?
A tanker out there in the middle ocean just...
Aircraft refuel in the middle of the sky. You've seen that, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we can do it at sea, guys. Come on. And
yeah. I think I could drive a 200 footer. Anything bigger, I don't think so. I think 200 feet I could probably do.
That's a lot.
I've done 60, and I'm like thinking about the math. It's like, I could probably handle
there was that
200 feet.
There was that cruise ship that totally capsized recently. Remember that?
No.
Like within the past couple of years. Yeah, just a fucking giant cruise ship ran aground and, you know, tilted over. Pretty spectacular.
Like a couple years ago?
Within the last few years, yeah.
Yeah, the guy who like ran away, the captain ran away and then had dinner with his friends and like actually like nothing happened.
Maybe.
And then the cops came and were like, "What'd you do?" He's like, "Oh, I was taking a shortcut." And they're like, "What?"
Maybe that's the same one. I mean, this was like a full-blown cruise ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, it'd be cool to take a cruise ship and truck it onto some land in Mendocino on like 100 acres. And then you just set it up there. And then you have it as a facility as you build other cool shit on the land, right?
Yeah. As long as you don't get complacent and let it fall into disrepair, you got to be like working on it.
It takes a full team.
You still got to be maintaining it every day, you know?
It's at least a team of 10 people full time.
It's almost like more work when it's in dry dock.
No way, because you're not floating.
Estimated cost of such a seastead, a converted cruise ship, is about $10
million. Huh.
So we're talking like the, you know, the Carnival cruise ships, the giant ones.
Well,
the giant ones that you see in San Francisco.
If you go to cruiseshiptrader.com, you can find 100 foot, 200 foot, 500 foot, not 500, 300, and down to even like 80 foot.
And yeah,
retired cruise ships under 100,000.
And there's something to be said for the massive scale, you know? Because if you have, it's like the more people you have, basically the more resources you have, the more shifts you can have, et cetera, et cetera. So I think there's kind of a sweet spot
between
way too huge and way too small.
Okay, say the biggest is like...
Because with your ship, the crew was too small.
It was too small. 60 feet was not big enough.
Not big enough to live for 6 days at sea, or 7 days.
I mean, it was only a crew of three. And one of them was incapable of driving correctly. So
yeah,
it was just me and one other person.
So I think that there's some, you know, there's a gradient somewhere in the, maybe there's a bell curve even. Somewhere on that bell curve is like the ideal size. If you think about seasteading and you draw analogs to the way terrestrial, which is to say like land-based things are divvied up, you have the home, right? Neighborhood. And then
town
or city, and then county.
Mm-hmm.
So a good question would be how far up that hierarchy does the optimal seastead get to be? Is it a house? No, because you probably need other people. So maybe a neighborhood? Somewhere between neighborhood and city. Somewhere like
12 families to 20, 12 to 20 families kind of a thing?
Yeah, somewhere, I mean, between neighborhood and city is a big
thing. Well, cities thing, like you get into hundreds of thousands.
Or town, or I guess town is, city is 10,000, town is what, 5,000 or something?
I don't know, 2,000?
So somewhere between neighborhood and town, I think would be the optimal size.
Well, how many humans do you estimate?
I think something like 20 is too small.
Yeah. What's like a sweet number?
50.
Like 50
what's
people?
What's a platoon? Like 30?
Yeah.
And then what? Company? Platoon, company?
I don't know.
Okay. Somewhere in there where everyone can know each other. And it's not so many people that you start getting... I don't know. It's a tough question.
Yeah. Huh.
I have an answer.
Maybe we'll ask the audience.
Maybe that's the question. What's the ideal size? What do you think the ideal size of a seastead would be?
And why?
Now, the other idea, spar platform. Similar to oil platforms. So, one such design would be basically a giant, like, dumbbell. So you imagine one weight is beneath the ocean, right? And then you have a long tube, and then maybe 100 feet above the ocean is the other part, like a capital I, right?
Uh-huh. Okay.
A capital I, on the side view, it looks like a capital I, with part of it beneath the ocean and part of it above the ocean. Most of it's underneath the ocean. But you have the living quarters like 100 feet above the ocean. So you minimize the effect of the waves moving stuff around. So spar platforms, that's another. So we have cruise ships and spar platforms and also modular islands, right? If you just had like a platform that you could attach, so, you know, you could build another platform of the same size and shape and you keep adding those together.
It's like if you had a 3D printer that could make platforms, if you just found the right kind of material, you could go around finding that material, making more platforms.
Yeah. Think about all the junk. All the trash, all the shit, all the junk on land that we could just use, recycle or use or melt down or just use just the way it is on the ocean. I think that's a huge solution to landfill and garbage. But with the modular design, you could make like a floating like quilt almost. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The problem with that is, well, you know, the problems with each one of these, but stability. You know.
Yeah.
Interesting. You can imagine water if you laid down a quilt on top of the ocean. If you get a huge wave, parts could snap.
Could flap off
and flap all over the place. So that's seasteading.
I think that's seasteading. So should I do my end capper now?
That's a quick snapshot of seasteading.
Wow.
It's a cool feature. It's like, part of it is like, you know, you remember growing up and it was like the year 2000 was big, right?
I was a junior in high school.
And we saw Star Wars and shit and it was like, oh, wow. It's like, or even, I don't know, other movies where it was like the future was like, oh, that future's going to be great. You know, once we hit the year 2000, all this shit's going to be great. We had faith in the future before the year 2000. And I feel like we've sort of lost this faith in the future. And so that's why I wanted to bring in seasteading, because it's like a real future cool thing, a cool direction for humans to go into. And it's a step towards, you know, colonizing space, which I think we need to do. So that, yeah.
Thank you.
Now you can, if you have a closed parenthesis.
Okay, I have a closed parenthesis. If we could make it profitable for companies to collect the plastic in the ocean, because we've invented a 3D printer that just takes any kind of plastic, separates it, melts it down, and 3D prints your house, your hospital, your anything, right? From the trash from the ocean. So we go out there in masses and we figure out and create new ways to collect it, and we pour it into these machines and we build fucking anything we want.
Yeah.
Maybe seasteading 3D printed plastic garbage in a modular redone way could be possible if companies could make money off of it. We could connect it to the future, to the way people would look at it now.
I think there'd be lots of ways to make money off of, lots of ways to make money, in a seastead kind of context. You could be harvesting, of course, lots and lots of nutrients from the ocean. You could be sustainably farming fish and other things within the breakwater ring. It's almost like the first thing you want to build, depending on the scale, is a breakwater ring. Then you have the fish cages and all that stuff. You did all this sustainable farms within...
Let's call them fish houses.
Fish houses. Fish mansions.
Fish mansions. There we go.
Fish mansions and lobster villas and shrimp castles. All within the breakwater. So you have massive seafood export. You have excess food that you're generating. Also energy too. You might have an excess amount of energy.
As the technology improves and the solar panels and the hydroelectric collections and all, just the technology keeps improving. Yeah.
Mm. And I imagine like there might be huge IT opportunities.
IT opportunities?
Yeah. You could be a data store. You know, you could be a relay point. A lot of options. So I think there are a lot of opportunities. And of course, there'd be a lot of creative exports too.
Cool music.
Be all kinds of artists and so forth. And even just office spaces. I mean, companies, would there be some companies that just have offices there?
Yeah.
You know, offices in London, New York, and Cloche Obelisk, number 2.
Nice.
So, yeah, thanks, Seasteading. Did you want to talk about some of Nilotep update?
Yeah, okay, I'll do a little Nilotep update. Nilotep update. So we just released our EP, Conflict is the Illusion. 3 songs, 15 minutes of acoustic, psychedelic, black metal, 3 acoustic guitars, spoken word, and some singing.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
It is cool. We heard some of it.
Yeah, we heard all of it, yeah. I think you guys heard the whole dang thing.
Over several episodes.
Over several episodes.
But last episode you played something off it.
Yeah.
Cool.
And so we got together to practice.
Nilotep is 3 people.
Well, Nilotep is really Evan Jenks and myself, and there's a third sort of floating partial member at this time.
Free agent.
He's a free agent. Sometimes he does things, sometimes he doesn't, you know. And it's up to him. That's cool. So we do our thing and he joins us when he can. The update is that we were talking and he was like, hey, I have this cool idea. Let's cover this Alice in Chains song. And I was like, that's cool. I'm not really interested in learning the guitar. I'd rather just sing it and like play drums. And he's like, man, that'd be really cool if you could play it on guitar because then we could play it live. I was like, man, that just really doesn't sound fun. I really want to play the guitar. And then he was like, yo, he got real. He was like,
who, Chris or
Evan? Oh. And he was like, then you got to play the drums. You can't keep talking about how you got to play the drums, but you never do play the drums. And I was like, huh.
Okay.
I was like, yeah, I got to figure something out.
Hmm.
You had a good point. Hmm. And that was it. And so now I'm reeling. I'm thinking about that, trying to make that happen.
Any ideas on how you can make that happen?
You know, it's like I'm planning to go to Guitar Center in a week to share a room with a friend, hopefully, and play drums for a couple of hours. But I really need to have access to the drums like a couple days a week.
Whenever you want.
Yeah, whenever sort of. I want it'd be the best.
Or, you know, yeah, scheduled. But
even a couple days a week so it can be possible.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be really necessary. And so I can't, all that is really on halt until I get something like that going on. So it's like a, now become a priority in them.
Well, you have drums.
I have drums.
That's not an issue. The issue is
space.
Space.
Where the place. Hell
place.
Can we put them up where people won't call the police?
Where can you put them up and leave them up?
Uh-huh. Where people won't call the police.
Why is that so fucking hard in today's world?
Because everyone will call the cops.
A 10-foot by 10-foot by 10-foot room.
Just a cube. It's really challenging. And you can't just do it outside. It's like illegal.
Nope. You can't do it outside. Can't be creative outside. Can't be loudly creative outside.
That's illegal.
Disturbing the peace. Disturbing the metronome. Disturbing the status quo. So, how do we make this happen? I would say, put your name on the waiting list at Oakland Music Complex, because the waiting list probably be a couple years, right? A couple years, you'll be in a different situation. Different variables. Variables will have changed. And it might be like, oh shit, nice.
Now
I can move from this space to this thing. The long con. right?
Yeah.
But not a con, just a long plan.
Just a long plan, yeah.
So OMC, also Rehearse America, put your name on the list there. Because they have, like, drum rooms. They're just tiny, tiny rooms.
Huh.
Like 8 by, or, you know, like 12 by 8 or something.
That'd be plenty for a full band. We could do it.
Yeah. So that would be my recommendation.
Elbow to elbow, you know.
Yeah. That would be my recommendation for places to start. You could build a shed in your backyard small enough where you wouldn't have to, you know, it wouldn't have to be qualified as a house or apartment.
It had to be soundproof. Yeah.
Or get like one of those storage units. Some people have like a storage unit that's in front of their house and it's just storing stuff. It's like parked. It's like parked in a space. And it's just a storage thing, like an 18-wheeler trailer.
Like a shipping container?
But like half that size. Or even a third of that size.
Huh.
So it's just a cube. It's just in front of your, you know, it's just on the street. And you soundproof it and play drums in there.
They rent those. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You rent those
cubes. I forget
cubes.
What it's called. Rent those cubes.
Yeah, yeah, it's like street cube.
It's like street storage thing. You've seen them around.
The street though, right? They'll tow it. They can't tow it. They will tow it.
I think you can have it. I've seen them on the street.
Huh?
I think you probably have to move it every once in a while, but. If you had a
What if you had a parking space? What do you mean move it?
What if you had a parking space?
I do have a parking space.
In the garage.
I do.
So just put it there. And then no one, the parking people can't get into the locked garage.
Fair enough. Okay, so
the only person who gives a shit is the landlord, right?
Yeah, we'll talk it out. So, so we'll put a shipping container in one of my parking spaces in the garage.
It's like a third of the size of a shipping container.
So it fits in a parking space.
It's a cube. Yeah. Right. It's like 8 by 8 by 8.
I wonder if we could find like something that was already soundproof too, like on Craigslist, that was like that size. Sometimes that exists.
Because all you need is a room for you.
And one other person would be cool.
Gear and stuff, but
computer,
not a
speakers.
Lot. And then you could, so the walls could be like a foot thick foam.
Hmm.
Depending on the size of the thing, you know, but that you could do that.
Huh. That's interesting.
Make your own fucking studio.
Make it movable too.
You can't build
it
from scratch.
Totally.
You can't do it from scratch, so you have to somehow find a way to do it. Maybe that's a good way to do it.
That's interesting because you could also, if I moved, I could take it with me.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
You can make the soundproofing stuff all modular. Like it's you're not... It's not permanently, you know, it's not permanent. You could easily just take it out and put it somewhere else.
Yeah, totally.
So the whole thing is built just as like a temporary place.
Hmm. Well, if we can find that online, show me the pictures and like...
It's like a drum ambulance.
Let's make it happen. Yeah, drum. And it's an emergency.
Yeah, it's a drum ambulance. What if we actually converted an ambulance?
That'd be cool.
Soundproof the back box, right?
Uh-huh. Set the drums up in there.
Yeah.
Have it be mobile. Put a hinge on the roof and cut it with a torch so that at Burning Man you could open up the top and it'd be like a big,
right.
It's like a stage ambulance thing.
Yeah, you could take off the back, you could take off the whole back part, walls and roof. So it's just a platform.
Yep, we totally.
That's funny because someone could be driving you around while you're practicing, and you're open to the mm-hmm. air,
mm-hmm.
practicing drums on the platform.
Yep,
that's pretty cool.
We could do that.
So those are some solutions.
That's some solution opportunities right there.
It's choice.
Sounds good.
Thank you. that her lowest note?
I think she can go a little lower than that.
It's pretty low.
We went camping the other day.
Oh, yeah.
We made that song while we were camping by the fire. That's what that crackle is and the flick of the lighter.
Nice.
Yeah. Made a song this one. It's like we were thinking about putting lyrics on it, but we kind of were spent and that was it.
Sometimes you don't need to, man.
You know, sometimes they're just instrumental and cool, but there's cool vocals.
Sometimes you don't need another part. Mm-hmm. If the song is perfect and someone's clamoring for another part, you know, ask some questions.
So that sounds good. Did you have any, musically, did you have any visual images come up for you?
Even though it's, I know that it's you playing it on your phone, I envisioned you actually playing the drums. And I thought to myself, man, if you could do this, if you could actually do this on the real drum set, that would be cool. Because it's a bizarre beat and style to be doing, you know, precise. A
bunch of different stuff.
And I was like, and then I got to wondering, how good are Drew's rudiments? So I thought, because I was thinking about march beats and mega snare subtleties and you know, snare finesse.
It's a good topic.
So that was, I envisioned you playing drums. I guess that was one thing. And like dark ocean waves, like night waves.
Makes sense.
Like you're on a dark boat looking into the dark ocean.
There's a flashlight on
there. Looking to the horizon, but everything's black or dark blue, but everything's kind of this expanse. That's what I was thinking of.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. That's cool too.
All right, I know it is time for a word from our sponsor. Final Corp, 50 years of experience, 50 flavors of mayonnaise. Final Corp would like to introduce its product, again, the Mister. Now, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you check out the Mister. It clamps on to your penis, and it sprays out your urine in a mist form instead of a pesky stream. Imagine the possibilities with the zipper attachment. You could be standing anywhere and just mist.
Let it mist.
Let it mist. The Mister by Final Corp.
Final Corp.
It'll be fine.
Purveyors of nays and other mega kick-ass drinks.
Look, 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 look. Have you tried Blackberry Naze? Well, this is your opportunity. Final Corp has it on sale now.
Final Corp. It'll be fine.
Sounds good. That was a nice little tune.
Well,
it reminds me of you. Yeah. Reminds me of you. It sounds like something you would write.
Images, visions.
I get. Okay, so when I close my eyes, images I get. I need a little
feeling.
Give me a little reverb on the voice. Some of the visual images I saw when listening to that song were, I thought, like a green forest, and there was like a lot of ivy, and there was like a pathway with little leaves on it. It was nighttime, but you could see from moonlight, and there was like a character. The character seemed to be partially there and partially somewhere else. Sort of an intermediary. It was cool.
So that's about it.
We got
shot. I shot my bolt. I got my topic and my thing. It sounds good. You got something?
I have a little gradient update.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
Gradient update.
Okay, so last.
What was the last development?
Development.
Bring us up to date here.
So right now there's like this, like a new hope, and it's weird because I thought the 11th hour was like months ago.
Right.
But it seems more like now because there's. I've gotten feedback that from other people from the outside that they're like, maybe this isn't what you want to do, and I'm getting a read on you that maybe you'd rather do something else instead of this. That's why it's not kind of happening. I'm like, So I've heard that, and at the same time, there's this space in Richmond, and I really like the address, 999 West Cutting. Right.
Nice.
And so good news. Great update.
Memorable.
I know, because I think what I would do is with the address 999 West Cutting, I would write West Cutting upside down.
You could actually make it an ambigram. You could make it readable both upside down and not upside down.
That's cool. There would
be no upside down. It would look the same both ways. And it reads the same both ways. It's called an ambigram.
Especially with West Cutting, that wouldn't even be that hard.
And with the 999, you could make it look like 666 or 999. Six is the only number that's another number if you turn it upside down.
So
that's a good gradient update.
Yeah, so there's good news. And the news is
New Hope.
City planning says that we can brew there.
They changed their mind? Or
No. We were just finding out. So we found out at that address that we're allowed to brew. And
that's like the holy grail. That's been the holy grail so far, right?
Well, there's a catch.
Yeah, of course.
The manager.
Nothing's ever perfect. Nothing's perfect.
Right? The manager of the property is like on board. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to fight for you to come in here to the owners because you're the best, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have an advocate on the inside of the building, the management. It's not a guarantee,
yeah,
but we have an advocate. And then. So the city said, yes, we can brew there. Now, they had a question about our tasting room. And I was like, I just want the standard. Just what everyone else has, which is like 10% of the space. A little
right.
counter. And one kegerator, you know.
Uh-huh.
And
one,
so,
well, yeah,
dishwasher.
One register, one yeah. dishwasher, one I'm bar, one, keg, one kegerator.
You know, like 20 chairs.
10% of the space.
Yeah. And they're like, oh.
Give me the standard package.
And the news is they were optimistic, even before I answered their questions, which they had many about the size, how many people, where would it be, how many parking spaces. Of course, I don't know that.
Uh-huh.
So we'll have to answer some of that later. But there seems to be good news. I'm nervous to fully accept it. But I love the address. Right. They say we can brew there. Management wants us. We're just kind of needing confirmation on the tasting room.
It's almost like you're just constantly waiting for the other shoe to drop, right?
Constantly.
Yeah.
And this is, again, I've said this before, but this is the closest we've ever been.
Right.
It's really looks it looks pretty positive.
Closer and closer approximations.
Right. And that so
is a good
if we can
goal.
Finally swing that rope to the next one and reach it and grab on and open up.
New hope.
I know that we'll
swinging
have a lovely amount of beer that people will really like. People are going to like the beer. It's going to be good. And there's many breweries, and that's fine. We'll be a community.
It's a thing.
Gradient update.
All right. Thanks for joining us this week, episode 23.
Thanks. I'd like to acknowledge you all for taking the time to listen to us. Podcast for empathy and imagination.
Empathyandimagination.com.
Please comment, share, like. Thank you.
Just about anywhere. Got tonight. You're all I've got tonight. You're all I've got tonight.
Need you
tonight.
I need you
tonight.